brother. Amen. Amen. Good morning, Grace Point Church. Glad that you're here. Thank you for worshiping with us today, especially if you're a guest. We're glad that you're here worshiping with us. Let me share a couple of announcements, a few things, and then we're going to jump back into James chapter 2 is where we left off a month ago. James chapter 2, verse 14, if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along there. Before we get there, let me just share a few things that we have going here at Grace Point. Grace Point 101, which is kind of a discovery class to learn more about Grace Point, what we believe, who we are, history, ministries, meets right after this service. So Grace Point 101, right after this service, in the lobby, lunch, childcare provided. I'll meet you out there, start teaching through a booklet that we give you that has a lot of what we believe and who we are and a number of other things. We'll have the other staff out there also. So if you haven't signed up but you want to go, you can still come to that and be a part of it. Just come out to the lobby after the after this service, and we'll get you signed up and get you a book for as we walk through the material for that class. So that's right after this service. Second thing, we a while back we started our small groups on Sunday mornings, but mid-semester we add some also. It already kind of scheduled some to start last week, Silver Linings, which is a grief recovery group. Meets on Wednesday night at 6:15. So if you want to come be a part of that, we invite you to come be a part of that. Just started last week, so you can still jump in with that. And then next Sunday at 11 o'clock, so during this hour, Brett Williams, who's one of our elders, will be teaching a class, starting a class called The Bait of Satan, which goes well with really what I talked about last week, which is spiritual warfare. So if you'd like to be a part of that, they'll meet in the classroom right off the lobby. You're welcome to come and to be a part of that beginning next Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, out in the lobby here, one of the classrooms out in the lobby. So we'll get you in the right class if you want to be a part of that. So a lot of different things going on. Another event, a Grace Point Men's Night, is coming up this Thursday, October the 10th, 7 o'clock. Chad Williams, who's a former U.S. Navy SEAL and author of the book called The Seal of God, will be here at Grace Point, and we'll have a time of worship, and then he will be sharing, I think, his testimony and a number of other things here at Grace Point Thursday night at 7 o'clock this Thursday, men. So we invite you to come be a part of that. We've invited other churches in the area, the men's group and men's ministries. These cards, you probably got one on the way in, but if not, on the way out, has the information on there just to remind you. So hope that you can come and be a part of that, men, as we gather together on this Thursday night. All right, so James chapter 2, I want to read, and then the verse 14 through 17, then I want to talk to you about kind of what I'm going to do this morning. It's a little different, so let me just read, just to re-engage us with the book of James, which we've been walking verse by verse through, and it's all about our works, that we can't. James is saying, you can't just say, I have faith, but it not be obvious in your life. You can't just say you have faith and not do good works. He's not saying that your works save you, but he's saying, if you indeed have saving faith, works will flow from your faith. And he kind of narrows and dials in on it in verse 14 when he says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Okay, so he's kind of challenging, I think, our salvation. Somebody who says they have faith, but you don't see it, any fruit in their life. You see nothing, no works. If a brother, verse 15, or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So today what I want to do, I'm going to take a big picture view of this. Next week we'll dig in more and take kind of verse by verse. But I want to give a big picture. And there's three parts to this sermon today. Three parts. First is a time of affirmation. That's the first part. The second is a time of challenge. Second part. And then the third is a time of question. Time of affirmation, time of challenge, and a time of question. So it's going to be kind of a different message in that way, because that's kind of how it's going to break out. And then next week, I'll start taking apart the verses here on verses 14 through 17. But the idea is, he's saying there is there need to be works. So I want to talk about our works and then challenge you to good works, affirm your works, and then ask you some questions maybe that can have us think about, you know, our faith and our works. And the other thing that's different about this sermon than probably any other sermon this year is it's going to be a shorter sermon. You're going to get out early today, okay? Don't get used to it, but you're going to get out early today. So the last 4 weeks, you know, the struggle is real. Mental health series has been encouraging from the standpoint that many have come, many have reached out, many have connected with resources and help. So I'm thankful for you as a church to be a part of that, to allow me to do that, for us to do that together. But every week I went, you know, pretty intense and pretty long. So I owe you some time. I'm going to give it back to you today and get you home in time for the Cowboys kickoff. Which isn't until 3:30, but that's funny. Because if it gives at noon, you'd be like, finally, but no. I'm a funny guy. So so let's start. Takeaway number one, take time to affirm. And I think this is good for all of us. I'm doing it today, but I think this is good for us to do these three things in relationship with others. Okay, it can be friends, coworkers, husband, wife, kids, whatever. It's this kind of format. So take time to affirm. Encourage is the first one. So this should be a work. This should be a work that flows from our faith, affirming others, being an encourager. Romans chapter 14, it says this. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. So he's saying, let's pursue this. Let's go this way, okay? Not this way in the marriage that focuses on all the things he or she's not doing and the negative and the tear down. All right, let's not pursue that. I'm not saying that we necessarily ignore if there's wrong or there's something that needs to change or there's issues. I'm saying we ignore it, but what are we pursuing? So we should be pursuing in relationship, let us pursue what makes for peace. Let's pursue that. Let's focus on that. Let's put our heart and our time into that. And for mutual upbuilding, mutual, both. That's in relationship. Let's be encouragers. Let that flow from our faith. And let's be intentional to take time to affirm each other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So when we encourage people and when we affirm others, there's three things that are really important. Not in your outline, but three things that are really important. Number one, it needs to be genuine. Number two, it needs to be specific. And number three, it needs to be communicated, or in this case, spoken. It can be written. That's powerful too. But those three things take it to a whole nother level. It is great when we say to someone, I appreciate you, because there is meaning to that. I mean, that is a way to affirm, and I think we should do that. I appreciate you. What I want to encourage you to think about when we talk about going the extra mile is to be specific when you do that. Let's say with your kids, for example, or your husband or wife or friends, whatever it may be. So if you're specific to say, I appreciate you, that's one thing. But if I affirm and appreciate the way that you are always kind to people at school that are having a hard time, I appreciate and affirm the way that you go out of your way to make sure to check on whatever it may be, right? Instead of just saying, I appreciate you, that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But to take it to the next level, it's genuine, it's specific, and it's spoken or written. Right? So that when you're affirming somebody. So when we think about affirmation or encouragement, we never know what people are going through. I think words of affirmation and encouragement can be huge and build people up, because unfortunately, a lot of what we deal with in this culture, in this world, is not lifting, upbuilding. It's not pursuing peace. It's sometimes it's hard, and we get beat up and we get disappointed and we get discouraged. And then when we come home, that's really the last thing we need. All of us. So the last thing our kids need when they've been out in the world and dealing with all they deal with, to come home and to get the same thing that they've gotten all day at school. So what I'm saying is we want to create in our homes what can be said of our homes is that it's a place of refuge. It's a place of encouragement. Now, again, it's not to ignore, you know, I wanted to be affirming and encouraging to them. That didn't mean I ignored discipline, right? That we address that. We need to address that, certainly. But I learned the hard way over a period of time. I have four kids, so I got four chances. So I learned that the intensity in which I love must be greater than the intensity in which I discipline. So I either needed to dial it back when it comes to the discipline, or I need to tart it up when it comes to the love. So my kids don't just feel intensity when I'm, and don't just remember the discipline or the heat or the rebuke, whatever it is, right? I mean, I want them to get it, but they know that I love them with a greater intensity and passion, right? Instead of just them feeling that when I discipline them. So affirmation is important. Be affirming to one another. So what I want to do today is I want to take a few moments. I want to affirm you as a church and things you are doing well. Now, it's not to say we're perfect. We're not. I mean, we're certainly not. But at the same time, when we talk about works, James talks about works that flow from faith. I want to affirm some works that I feel like you are doing as a church family. Number one, here's the first thing. I didn't have enough room on the handout, so these will be on the screen. I first want to affirm that you are a welcoming group of people, that you are a welcoming church, that I truly believe that you sincerely make the effort, strive to make people feel comfortable, guests to feel welcome, and everyone to feel loved. Again, that's not perfect, but I believe that you make that effort and that you want guests as they come in here to feel comfortable. And if they need to know how to get over to the preschool children's building, that I've seen you walk them over there and then walk back with them. I've seen how they welcome people over there or in the lobby as they come into the worship center. I've seen that from you. And I've said to you before, and I'll say it again, that to me, in my personal opinion as a pastor, that the three of the most important things in every church in the United States of America, every single Sunday. Top three things, okay? Number one is greeting. Number two is greeting. And number three is greeting. Because if you're a member, I think it's important for us as a member, you know, that we greet one another. And that's a priority. And we're welcoming each other, certainly. But when you think about guests, maybe you can think back. And some of you have been here a long time, so it's hard. But maybe you can think back to when you first came onto the parking lot or came into the church and you didn't know anybody. That can be a scary thing. So you do well at that. You are a welcoming church. People want to be noticed. People want to be loved. People want to be accepted. People want a place where they can come and be themselves. I hear this constantly when I reach out to people who visited and talk with them, or they come and talk to me. And one of the consistent themes is that Grace Point, they'll say, is a very welcoming and loving church. And they were thankful that as they came in, they felt that. It's a powerful ministry. It starts in the parking lot, into the building, into the worship center, into the other buildings also. So just I affirm you in that and just continue on in that because it's so critical. It's so important. Every single person who walks through those doors here at Grace Point matters to God, and every single person who comes through the doors of Grace Point matter to us. And listen, you never know, trust me, you never know what people are going through when they come here on a Sunday morning. We never know. An encouraging word can go a long way. A smile, how are you doing? That goes a long way. You do well with that. That's a good work that you do. I affirm that. Number two, I affirm that you're a giving church. I really do. You give of your time. You give of your gifts. You give of your finances. And I want to affirm you in that. You give sacrificially to the vision of the church. Because you give and you've given and are giving sacrificially, we are able to do so much more for the community and with our ministries and our big events and our community events and for our church family because you give. And so you're giving faithfully. You're giving sacrificially. I thank you for that. I want to affirm you as a church that indeed you are a giving church. Anytime there's a need over the years since we've started day one in 2005, if I come to you and share with you needs, whatever it may be, whether it's a financial need, whether it's a food need or a clothing need or something, every time I come to you, you always step up every single time and you've always met that need and more. Coats for the cold, it could be coats, and I'll say it, and we are actually, we're going to have coats for the cold. Who knows if we'll need a coat ever again in Texas, but we're going to do it anyway, so just because I like to. So we're going to do coats for the cold or for the chilly or whatever we're calling it now, for the cool days in Texas. The first weekend, first Saturday in December, I think it's the 7th, but don't quote me on that. That first Saturday, I'll give you more information about that. But we started this years ago, and we gave away 250 coats. Some of you were here. 250 coats. Every year we've done it, and it's just grown. Last year we gave away over 2,000 coats to people in the community that came and needed coats. Okay, all of those coats came from you people. You're the ones who brought those. I said, we need more coats. We need more coats. Every time you bring coats, you're going to hear me say that again in probably 3 or 4 weeks. Hey, it's that time. And you bring coats, and so we're able to give coats. It's not like we've had to go out and buy 1,000 coats. You bring those coats. Fall Festival. We are in October, and we do Fall Festival every year. This year it's going to be Sunday night, October the 27th. And we'll be out here in this area, here next to our buildings, what we've done every year. And every year that thing's grown, we'll have well over 1,000 people that'll come this Sunday night. And so to meet those needs, we come to you. And so practically speaking, that's another need. So I'm saying to you, as I've talked to our preschool children's people, and the Julia said, it's time for you, talking to me, as to start announcing to the church that we need candy. It's a practical thing, right? But we don't pull that thing off unless we have candy. So just hear me now, that start thinking about that, start bringing that. And again, that's just an example. I share that and you'll start bringing that. You'll start bringing that each week leading up until the 27th. So if you can help us with that, you'll hear more down the road. But that's already started. If you want to help with the event, we need help with the event. You can sign up in the lobby or in the preschool children's building. If you want to come early and help us set everything up and stay after and help us take things down. At the event, we need help. We need trunks, cars. If you haven't been here for one, we go out into this field and we set the cars are up in a U, and the kids are able to go around that U to all the trunks around there. And you've participated. You've done great every year. Some people decorate their trunks. We provide the candy, and the kids are able to walk around with their families. We see over 1,000 people that'll come and be a part of that. Our church family, but also the community. It's a great way to reach people, to share with people, to minister to people. So if you can help with that, or you want to be a part in any way, let me encourage you to sign up in this lobby or in the one over there. So over and over again, we need money for a playground, and you've given money for the playground. We'll be packing boxes soon to send for Christmas, and you always go above and beyond and give the things for those boxes for us to be able to ship to other parts of the world for those kids. So you are a giving church. I affirm you today that you're a giving church. The third is, I think you're a hopeful church. I affirm that you are a hopeful church. This theme that I kind of shared a few years ago about hope, as God just pressed on me that, hey, you talk about hope. Talk about the hope that we have in God, and share that. And I've shared that, and you've embraced that. And I see that, and you talk that way, that there is hope, and you believe that there are no situations that are hopeless, that with God, there's always hope in God. And I see those T-shirts on Sundays, and I see those T-shirts in the community. I've seen you at Walmart and Target, and you're wearing your shirt, and you've embraced this. And so I affirm you for that, and I thank you for that. And the last thing I would say, number four on this, is take time to affirm, is I want to affirm that you're a patient church. You're a patient church. You're patient, and I specifically say you're patient with me as your pastor, as I continue to grow, I continue to learn, I continue to lead. You're patient with me as I run around on the stage and scream at you. Thank you for that, for receiving it. Not that you have a choice, but thank you for being patient with me as I continue to grow, as I continue to lead. And know, I know you know this, but I want to remind you, and I'm going to, because I'm moving into the time to challenge. But know, understand this, that when I get ready to talk about these things that I challenge you with, and every week when I preach and teach and I do get kind of worked up, I know. But understand that it comes from a deep, deep place in my heart, in my soul. It's conviction that I fully believe that the best life possible is lived inside the boundaries of God's will and God's way. I fully believe that. I've given my life to that. I believe that. I love you so deeply. I want you to have that. And I deeply believe it. And so that's why it comes off that way, is I want you. All right, so now, catch this, and then I want to go on. So understand this. When I preach these things, or when I challenge every week, okay, and some of these things I'm going to challenge you about, you know, worship and giving, understand this. At the end of the day, that lands between you and God. I want you to hear that, okay? Understand that when I talk here about, in just a minute, about I'm going to challenge you to worship weekly, and I'm going to say, hey, you need to, I want to encourage you to make a commitment to be in church every single week. And I talked to you about that. I deeply believe that your life will be better and that you will be blessed in greater ways if you make that commitment. Now, here's the deal. If you don't, and I don't see you for 2 months, and we run into each other at Walmart, you don't have to hide behind the dog food, okay? or try to duck me, okay? I'm not going to be like, judgment, where have you been, brother? You know, I'm not going to do that, probably. I mean, chances are good, I won't. But I want you to understand my heart on that. I'm just glad to see you. And if for whatever reason you haven't been able to come, okay. It's okay. I don't think differently of you because, you know, you haven't been in months or whatever. Okay. Understand that at the end of the day, that is between you and the Lord. All right. As your pastor, I still love you. I'm going to keep preaching it and challenging you and encouraging you because I believe fully that this is the best life that God has for us by walking in obedience to him, okay? So get that as your pastor, that I want that for you. But at the same time, don't think like I'm judging you if some of these things you don't do. I'm just, I love you, and I'm glad anytime to see you and be in relationship with you. So take time to challenge is the second thing. I think it's good. I think it's healthy. I think it's biblical to challenge you to go the extra mile. So the main one, and everything else comes under that, I always want to challenge you to grow spiritually. As your pastor, I want to challenge you to grow spiritually, not to just let you be comfortable, but challenge you to grow spiritually. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow. Keep moving forward in your faith. Hey, we all get stuck sometimes. We all get stuck in rut sometimes. I know that happens. That happens, okay? Sometimes seasons of life, man, just beat us up, and it's all we can do just to survive. I get that, too. But don't let that define you, that you're not growing spiritually. You know, be intentional moving forward. What is next for you spiritually? Maybe it's to join a small group. We have a lot of opportunities. We talked about one, many others. Maybe it's to get involved in a Bible study, to begin a quiet time, to serve somewhere. We'll talk about it in a minute. But whatever that is, make sure. Because that is where you are going to find the abundant life. That is where it is. Don't let Satan deceive you and convince you otherwise. It's as you're growing spiritually, you will find greater joy. Number two, I want to challenge you to attend worship weekly. I just mentioned that. To attend worship weekly. Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves. All right, so this is the first church. He's talking about to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And they talk later about getting together in the temple courts. Now, but they devoted themselves. They were faithful. Now, we have three services every week. One of the reasons is space and parking and preschool, but also because we want to provide three opportunities for you to come. I would do four or five if I thought more people would come. I don't think more people are going to come. So I think three is a good number, right? And three is a good. So to provide more opportunities for you to come and for you to worship. One of the things we started a couple years ago, 2 years ago, Stephen Richardson, I give him credit because he's the one who really came to me and he started talking to me about live streaming and different ways that can do that. So thankful for Stephen. And then Todd Rimby, Kyle Petit jumped in. And these guys have had live stream up and going for 2 years now. And it's been a great ministry opportunity. Many of you have said, you know, like, well, we had a ball game. We were at the ball game, but we live streamed the service. We were driving back from here. We live streamed. I was sick. I live streamed the service. Or somebody last week said, I just had a horrible week. I didn't want to come. I live streamed the service. I said, hey, man, good deal. You know, that's what we're there for. At least you're able to stay connected with us. Since we started 2 years ago, the live stream we have had, they told me last week, since 2 years ago, we've had over 17,000 views of our services in the last about 2 years. We stream all three services, so it's been a great ministry opportunity to way to minister to our church family, and that's, to be honest with you, that's kind of the genesis of it, of ways we can, you know, connect with you if you're out and you're unable to come for whatever reason. But it's also gone beyond that to people who don't live in the area, which is great. I didn't anticipate that, who are able to watch the live stream, or you can watch playback during the week if you miss a service or you can't come, and many people have done that. So that's been a great thing. Let me just encourage you, though, don't let the live stream be a weekly substitute for live worship. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to fall in that habit, right? So don't say, hey, we're going to stay home week after week after week after week after week and not come, because there is something that is so powerful about gathering together with other believers corporately and worshiping God together. And that's powerful. And we need that, and we miss that. So I encourage you, challenge you to attend worship weekly. I want to challenge you to serve faithfully. Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ for good works. So God has given us as believers spiritual gifts to use those gifts to bless others. Not only are you encouraged and blessed, but others are blessed also. There's a table out here, the Connect table, and on it has serve form. So maybe that's your next step to say, I want to take that step of faith, use my gifts, and to serve faithfully. And then I want to challenge you to continue to give sacrificially. To continue. I think you're doing that. But continue to give sacrificially as we continue to minister to others. 2 Corinthians 9, listen to this, verse 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now watch this. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What he's decided in his own, not reluctantly or under compulsion. That's why I'm never going to stand up here. I never have in my ministry, in any of the church I've been at. I don't anticipate it ever doing it. I won't stand up and beat you up about giving or twist your arm or try to guilt you into giving. You know why? Because it is between you and God. And that's what it says right here. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. That's why I don't know what people give. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. And that's between you and God. But giving, as you give, God uses that to bless others in ministry as you give, but also to grow you as you trust him in faith. As you give. Now, takeaway number three. I'll finish with this, and we're going to do the Lord's Supper, and then we'll finish there. Takeaway number three, take time to ask. Three questions I leave you with, just to think about, okay? Some of you have heard this first one before. I've heard it many times, but just ponder it, okay? If every member were just like me, what kind of church would my church be? Something to think about. Now, look, there's two extremes. I don't say that to beat you up. If you're not in a good place right now as far as with church, I don't want you to feel guilty for that, okay? At the same time, you know, if you're at a good place, you know, I don't want you to also be egotistical and think, well, this place would be a lot better if everybody was just like me. Let me tell you. We don't do that either. It's just a way just to get you to think kind of where you are. If every member were just like me, what kind of church would my church be? Number two, why not surrender everything? Why not? Why not? surrender everything to God today. Everything to God today. Surrender means to yield ownership, to relinquish control over what we consider ours. Surrendering to God helps us to let go of whatever's been holding us back from God's best for our lives. Now, let me say this. Whatever you choose to give, whatever you give up, whatever God has for you is far greater than anything you let go of. Why not surrender everything to God today? And then number three is, what's your next step spiritually? Maybe your next step is to surrender your life to Christ if you haven't done that. Maybe your next step is to be baptized, October 20th, our baptismal service. Maybe that's your next step of faith. Maybe your next step is to serve at Grace Point. Maybe your next step is to join a small group. Every single one of us, Pastor Dave included, has a next step spiritually. What is your next step spiritually? Let me read this and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. The longer, this is called the safest place on earth. Chuck Swindoll wrote this, the safest place on earth. The longer we walk with the Lord, the more we realize that we really don't know what each new day may bring. A phone call can come in the middle of the night, shattering our joy. Suddenly everything changes. It's amazing what a knock at the door can bring or what the opening of a letter can do. I don't say these things to conjure up fear in our hearts, but simply to remind us that God alone knows our future. And there's no safer, no better, no more rewarding place to be than right in the center of His will, regardless of where that may be. We are only finite human beings. We can only see the present and the past. The future is a little frightening to us. So we need to hold on to God and trust Him to calm our fears. And at those times when we're stubborn and resisting and God shakes us by the shoulders to get our attention, we're reminded that we don't call the shots. God has a plan for us. Mysterious though it may seem. And we want to be right in the center of it. All the risks notwithstanding, the center of His will is still the safest place on earth we can ever be. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray as we just settle our hearts, maybe clear our minds as we pray and go to the Lord, as we prepare to come to the table for the Lord's Supper. And Brian Stone, who's one of our elders, is going to come and he's going to walk us through this time. Let's just continue to worship the Lord this morning.